Welcome. Good morning. My name is Nancy, and I am your worship partner for today. So I don't know, I can only see you if I have my glasses on, but I can only read if I don't. All right. Welcome, newcomers. Any new people here? There are rainbow cards in your hymnals. If you would like more information about our church, please fill out the card and either put it into the collection plate as it comes around later, or give it to myself or Reverend Ellen. There is a time for socializing in between the services. Please join us for coffee hour. We have coffee, tea, and sometimes some really good snacks. And it's a time to get to know everybody better. Let's see. All right. So I have a couple extra announcements. You may have noticed in your order of service that we have invited the local press to join us for worship. If you would prefer not to be interviewed, or if you do not want to be in any published photos, we have a section reserved over on this side here just for you. You may also notice that our own Ruth Clegg behind the scenes snapping some photos of the service for our website and Facebook. If for any reason you don't want your photo to be used, just let Ruth or Reverend Ellen know after the service. And please silence any electronic devices that you may have.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Ellen Quadgrass. I am the minister here at Westminster, and I would also like to welcome you all to our worship service today. It may be raining outside, but we are lighting this place up with our light inside. So that's wonderful. Our theme this month is attention. And in this all ages service, we will reflect on the traditional Thanksgiving call to make room at the table. As we give thanks for what we have, how might that gratitude lead to generosity in spirit and action, helping us notice and attend to those who we might not otherwise see? Because this is an all ages service, the order of service is a little different today from how we normally structure things. And you may have seen in the service description on the website that this service includes a surprise. And indeed it does. And with time and some patience, eventually all will be revealed. It's good to see you all. And we now begin our worship with the prelude.
When the sun sets and stars fill the sky, the square in the little town grows quiet and still. The cool air of distant hills mingles with the sweet smell of baking bread. The moon rises and glows softly. It is the sort of place where miracles could happen. But miracles were the further things from the imaginations of Jacob and David. Jacob was a rich man. He was too busy thinking about how to make more money to look for a miracle. When he came into the synagogue, the rabbi would hardly begin to speak before Jacob fell sound asleep. When the service was over, Jacob would wake up and walk back home. David was a poor man. He was too busy thinking about how to feed his family to look for a miracle. He was the caretaker at the synagogue. When the prayers were done, he would sweep and dust and tidy up the place. Then he would go home to a house empty of everything but hungry children. Next, we will have the chalice lighting.
For all who are hungry in body, for any who go to bed hungry, for all who are hungry in spirit, who wonder what God really means, for all who are hungry for purpose, who want to be helpful to others, for all who are hungry for connection, who long to make new friends, for all who are seeking a beacon of hope, for all who would hope to become one.
Let us take a few moments now to greet one another, a chance to say hello to all the new friends around you, particularly the ones you haven't met yet. Please take a moment to greet your neighbor. Is never long enough, I know. But as always, please do feel free to continue those conversations after the service is over. Let us join together and sing our opening hymn, number 360. It's in your larger hymnal. Please rise in body or in spirit. please remain standing as we now say together the unison affirmation, which is found in your order of service. Love is the spirit of this church, and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. Please be seated.
So here they were, Jacob, the rich man, coming to synagogue, falling asleep, waking up, and walking home. And David, the poor man, coming and cleaning and going home hungry. That's pretty much how it went day after day. And that's how it might have kept on going until one morning, Jacob, the rich man, did something he had never done before. He woke up just for a moment during the reading of the Torah. Why did Jacob wake up just then? Who knows? But he did, and just long enough to hear one verse from the book of Leviticus. You shall bake 12 loaves of challah and set them before me in 2 rows of 6 in each row. That was it. Then he yawned and fell back asleep. When the service was over, Jacob rubbed his eyes and swallowed hard. The sound of the words was still so clear in his ears that he was sure it must have been God who had spoken to him. But why to me of all people, he wondered, and why 12 loaves of bread? On the other hand, who am I to question God? So Jacob, the rich man, hurried home. I'm going to get these all messed up. But miracles were the further thing from the Jacob, the rich man, hurried home across the square and baked 12 loaves of challah. But now he had a problem. How to get the bread to God? He decided that the synagogue was the holiest place he knew. So he put the loaves of challah in a sack and carried them back to the synagogue. But where in the synagogue should he put the challahs? By the doorway? That was too busy. On the shelf of holy books? Too crowded. By the eastern wall? They might get stepped on. Then Jacob saw the holy ark. Of course, he thought. He walked up the steps, opened the door to the ark, and carefully set the 12 loaves inside it in 2 neat rows on the flattened sack, just as God had told him. Then, feeling a little foolish, he closed the doors and walked home. No sooner had Jacob left than David, the poor man, came into the synagogue to clean up. He swept, he dusted, he tidied. Then he stopped in front of the holy ark. His family had so little, and he was so hungry. Oh, God, he prayed, we are out of food. Oh, Lord of infinite wisdom and compassion, I'm afraid that if you do not see fit to help us soon, we will starve. He opened the doors of the ark, and there they were, 12 loaves of challah. Oh, God, said David, I didn't know you worked like that. Blessed are you, Lord of God, who answers the prayers of those who call upon you in need. Overjoyed, he gathered the 12 loaves into the sack and ran home to show his wife and children the bread from heaven.
One of the ways in which we give and receive to and from each other here at Westminster is by holding space for each other for joys and sorrows. In honor of our Thanksgiving service, I'm going to invite us to do this time a little differently this morning. I'd like to give us a chance to offer our gratitude to those who have given us gifts, or for the ways that we have given gifts and possibly also hold a space for those who we know are going through a hard time, who are on our hearts. So in that space, anyone can speak the name of someone you are thankful for or someone who is hurting. Our words may overlap. There may be pauses. That's okay. There is a natural ebb and flow when we share in this way as we create a chorus of people for whom we are grateful or those whose troubles are on our hearts. I open a space for us. Let us hold all of these names and all of those unspoken in our hearts. And let us gather our hearts and minds in a spirit of prayer. Spirit of kindness, spirit of attention, help us to notice today all the ways the webs of our lives are entangled. Help us to notice ourselves, who each of us are and where each of us fits. Help us to notice our neighbors, who they are and how they are. Let us notice creatures and creations all around us, each as a valuable life of their own. Let us be aware of it all, not rushing past what deserves our attention, but also not allowing ourselves to be overwhelmed by trying to do more than we can. Help us to be alive to what is, to the call of life, alive within and all around. Let us take a few moments now for quiet reflection, meditation, and prayer. Amen. Let us join together for our song in response. It's number 123 in your thicker hymnal. Please remain seated for this hymn.
Thank you.
just after the poor man, ecstatic, had left the synagogue to show his wife and children his amazing find, Jacob, the rich man, came back into the empty synagogue, curious to see if God really ate the challahs. He slowly approached the ark and opened its doors. The challah were gone. "Oh my God," he whispered. "God, you really ate the challahs. It's a miracle. I thought you were only kidding. Please forgive me. I wasn't sure if it was really you, so I scrimped on the eggs. This is wonderful. Next week, I will be back here with the 12 new loaves, and this time I will spare no expense." He closed the doors of the ark and ran home to tell his family that God had accepted their gift. So the next week, just as he had promised, Jacob, the rich man, brought to the synagogue 12 new loaves of challah, and this time with raisins. He placed them in two neat rows inside the ark. "Praised are you, O Lord our God," he said, "who accepts these gifts of those who offer them in love." No sooner had Jacob left than David, the poor man, came in. "O God," he prayed, "we have eaten all the challahs you gave us, and some we have given away to those less fortunate. But now there is nothing left again. I know I should not ask, and I hope you won't think me greedy, but do you think, in your infinite compassion," he slowly approached the ark as he spoke, "you could somehow see fit to bestow in your servant another small fight? Perhaps just one more tiny miracle?" He opened the doors of the ark, and sure enough, there were 12 loaves of challah, and this time with raisins, too. "Another miracle, and even better than the first," cried David. "This is wonderful. Praised are you, O Lord our God, who answers the prayers of those who call upon you in truth." He scooped up the loaves and ran home to share God's gift with his wife and children. And so it went. Week after week, Jacob, the rich man, brought 12 loaves of challah to the ark as a gift for God. And week after week, David, the poor man, brought home 12 loaves of challah from the ark as a gift from God. The weeks grew into months, and the months, years. Jacob's giving and David's receiving became a routine thing. The rich man would run into the empty synagogue with a sack of challahs and just throw them into the ark. No sooner did he leave than the poor man would run in, scoop up the challahs, and shout, "Thanks, God!" Then, one day, the rabbi happened to come into the prayer hall late one afternoon and watch the whole amazing thing. Astonished, the rabbi called Jacob and David back and told them what he had seen. Jacob and David were astonished, too. "The holy ark is not some kind of heavenly baker," said the rabbi. "I should have known. God doesn't eat challah," said Jacob, his voice low and sad. "This wasn't any miracle after all." "I should have known. God doesn't bake challah either," said David, his voice low and sad, too. "There wasn't any miracle after all." You are correct. God doesn't eat challah. And God doesn't bake challah, said the rabbi with a kindly smile. God's miracles are not like that. Then the rabbi took their hands in his. "Now that you know that God does not eat challah and God does not bake challah, you will have to do something even harder. Jacob, you will have to go on baking the bread anyway. David, you will have to go on eating the bread also. Now you understand that your hands are God's hands." Jacob and David looked at their hands, and then they looked at each other's faces. They understood. Now, Jacob and David often come to the synagogue together. They sit side by side. Jacob does not fall asleep during prayers, and David's belly does not growl from hunger. After prayers, they come out and stand together in the warm sunshine. If you were there, you might see them. Two men standing together, looking at one another. Two men who understand that their hands are the hands of God.
every Thanksgiving, we celebrate cornbread communion here at Westminster. And today, this will be an opportunity to pay attention to two of
God's miracles, the bounty of the natural world and the kindness possible among us. May we recognize our commonality as we all share this gift among and with each other. Today, I would like to invite you into a practice that we have done here before, that I first learned from Buddhist teacher Pema Chodron, a practice I mentioned just a few weeks ago in a sermon on paying attention. It's called the three-bite practice. I'd like to invite our ushers up to our altar, actually, or to wherever the cornbread is, and begin to distribute it. Please hold on to the cornbread when you receive it, because we will do our three bites together. And yes, they will be small bites. And while the cornbread is distributed, I will share with you a video and music called Room at the Table by Carrie Newcomer. See if our cornbread is here. And I think it is. Is it? Where is the rest of our cornbread? It's coming. Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Yes, the names of our cornbread bakers are in the order of service, and there's gluten-free. All right. Forget to hold on to your cornbread. If you forgot, feel free to ask for another. Hard not to get up and dance watching that. I don't know if that's hard for you, but. So our three bites. First bite, the truth. We offer this first bite to teachers who have shown us some larger truth in whatever way. To those wise guides who lead us and point us in the direction we need to go. Oops. We loved it a lot, but not that much. All right. Technology is sometimes too helpful. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Point us in the direction we need to go. Even as you notice the flavor, the texture, the wonder of this gift from the earth, hold this person, this guide, this wise person in your mind, and as you share this experience with them in your mind. So let's take that first bite. I invite you to take that first bite. Thinking of that person. As you finish that first bite, I'll start sharing with you our second bite we offer in thanks to someone who has been kind to us, who has made room at the table for us when we needed it. We offer our second bite to someone who has been thoughtful or generous to us today, this week, or sometime in the past. So go ahead and take that second bite. I invite you to picture that person and in your mind, offer this second bite to them. Then our third bite, we offer to someone or some group of people who are suffering. Perhaps someone who is hungry like David from our story. Perhaps someone who is cold or doesn't have a place to sleep tonight. Let us offer that third bite to someone who could use a hand, who needs a seat at the table. So I invite you to take that third bite. And as you take it, just notice the taste of this little bite of food and offer it in your imagination, sharing that pleasure of the food with someone who is suffering. Invite us into, even as you keep chewing and swallowing, I invite us into a spirit of prayer. Let us move ourselves into that space. Let us give thanks for this opportunity to notice and pay attention, not only to what tastes good, but also our connections with each other, which we sometimes forget. We give thanks for the chance to remember that we are connected to people who guide us, that there is wisdom that can help us do the right thing, even when we don't exactly know all the whys or hows. We give thanks for the chance to remember the ways that others have been kind to us, to remember and be grateful. We give thanks for the chance to remember that there are those who have need, and that it is possible to practice generosity, even if only in our minds, as we practice opening our hearts to others all the time. Grateful for the opportunity to witness to these truths as all ages together. Amen. Amen. So our story tells us that it might have kept going that way indefinitely. Jacob, the rich man, coming to synagogue, falling asleep, waking up and walking home. And David, the poor man, coming and cleaning and going home hungry, neither looking for miracles, both empty of spirit and empty of hope that things would ever change. Except that, as you will recall, Jacob did wake up for just a moment. He woke up and paid attention in a way he had not before. It was enough to move him to action.
to offer something. And then one day, David, the poor man, gathered within himself enough chutzpah to be willing to pray, willing to believe that help might really come. He mustered enough hope to ask and find what he needed. A miracle from God? Not exactly. But yet, still somehow a miracle, of course, as Jacob is inspired to give and keep giving, and David is heartened to know that he is loved. Both, the story implies, no longer empty of spirits. Both beginning to understand that their hands are God's hands. That God's spirit, or we could say the spirit of love, is at work within and between them. It actually lines right up with our Unitarian Universalist theology. We each have a spark of divinity within us, William Ellery Channing wrote. We each have a spark of God inside. And we get to remember that everyone else does too. I'm reminded of a song made popular by Joan Osborne some years ago. "What if God was one of us," she sang. "Just a slob like one of us. Just a stranger on the bus trying to make his way home." And in the song we just heard by Carrie Newcomer, there is room at the table for everyone. "Let our hearts not be hardened to those living on the margins," she sings. "There is room at the table for everyone." And these days, in our current social climate, making room at the table is more important than ever. But perhaps also actually more difficult. Studies show, Reverend Robin Bartlett writes, that when people are under stress, not unlike the kind in our society right now, we are less likely to love the stranger, less likely to find the spark of divinity in others or ourselves. When we are worried about things like losing wealth or status, when we are in fear about climate change, worried about poverty or illness, we are less likely to open our hearts and more likely to want to close our eyes and go to sleep. And yet, our spiritual values teach us to love one another, to honor the inherent worth and dignity of everyone, to bring compassion to all. It is a calling, but it may even also, in a world that feels upside down, it might help us turn right side up ourselves. Recent research shows, in fact, that reaching out and sharing of ourselves, loving other people, generosity, are actually an integral part of human nature, part of what makes us feel whole and happy, part of what sets us right, even as we set things right for others. They've done studies on this, and one study with toddlers. The researchers offered them sweet treats and asked them to share them with a cute stuffed monkey. Then they made note of when the children smiled, assuming this offered insight into positive or negative emotion. And given these youngsters hadn't yet learned the rules of being generous, you might expect them to be naturally selfish. But what researchers discovered surprised them. The children smiled significantly more when giving the candies away than when just receiving treats themselves. In another experiment, researchers worked with adults, giving them all some amount of money between about $5 and $20. They chose some people to spend it on themselves and some to give it away. Then they asked them how they felt at the end of the day. And there, too, you would expect giving someone a chance to get something nice for themselves would put them in the better mood. And there, too, it was the people randomly selected to give the money away who reported feeling happier. Significantly so. They've even done MRI. They've done resonance imaging of people's brains when they're being generous and found that there was activity in the parts of the brain connected to our reward centers, connected to happiness, to joy, and love. So the evidence is in. Giving something of ourselves, making room at the table, lines up with our values and helps others and lifts us up too. We knew this, of course. We know this. We do it already. We do it here all the time at Sharing Locker, through the social justice team, through Lunch on the Hill, through generous service to this place and all the values we live out here. Every day, baking cornbread, raking leaves, teaching in religious education, serving in so many ways here and in all the other ways you do in your own lives. We do it all. In spite of a world that tells us we should hunker down and focus only on ourselves, we do it even though we might feel anxious or afraid, or like we need to keep our money or time to ourselves. But at Westminster, we don't just come to church to listen and reflect. We come to do something, to grow ourselves and change the world around us. We come to live our values together. So today, our surprise, it's coming right up. We are going to do something a little out of the ordinary. In this upside down world, we are going to turn one part of this worship service upside down. So where is the drum roll when you need it? Thank you. Thank you very much. Would our unveilers please come forward to unveil what is now veiled? And in a flourish, here we go. Hold on. Wait. Let's give Margaret a chance to go over to the third station of unveiling. And here we go. Voila. Oh, interesting. Okay. So what's this all about, you might be asking yourself. So today, instead of asking you for money during our offering, we are going to give it away. Yeah, what? You've got to be kidding me. What are you, crazy? Thank you. Thank you. Yes, we are going to give it to you. We're going to invite you to be emissaries, to be carriers of the love and values we strive to live every day. So now I get to explain. So you can stay if you want, or you can sit down if you want. But one of the things I get to do as a minister is to give money away. I have a fund just for that. It's called the Minister's Discretionary Fund. You all contribute to it at Christmas and other times. And I contribute to it when I receive payment for memorial services or weddings of church members. Those funds are specially earmarked to help others in need, and I think a lot about how that money can be used to do the most good, both within and beyond these walls. So today, we are going to offer to you between $5 and $20 from that fund and ask you to do something good with it, and you get to decide what something good is. You can do it on your own. You can pool the money with your family. You can do it as a group of families. You can do it in twos or threes with a good friend or someone who may yet become your good friend as you do good work in the world together. Sometimes when we give together, the warmth spreads. You can magnify the power if you want by using the money to purchase supplies to make or sell something and multiply it before you give it away. You can match it if you want. You can simply use it for yourself if it is you that is in need. The money is both within and beyond these walls. Everyone is invited to participate of every age, but no one is required. You can tell them it's from Westminster Unitarian if you want, or not if you prefer. The one thing we ask
is that if you take one of our rolls of cash, we ask that you tell us what you did with it. We will put up a Facebook post. Tell us the story. What did you think about doing? What did you end up doing? And how did it make you feel? Did it feel good? Did it feel awkward? Weird? Fun? It's all part of your story. You can send me an email, you can post it on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, or we have these lovely postcards which you will be handed on your way out of the service, which on one side have full of inspiring ideas if you want any, and then on the back there's room for you to write your story. And then we're going to create a bulletin board in Smith Hall, and we're going to post these on the bulletin board. And we're going to have a Facebook post as well, if that's easier for you. If you want to take a picture of what you do, that's fabulous. There's all kinds of ways to share your story. We ask that you complete this mission, if you choose to accept it, by December 15th. And here we go. There are three receptacles, three stations, and each with little rolls of bills. And they all have ones on the outside because they're, the big part of the big secret is with it. Will you be finding $5 or $10 or $20? They're a mix because life is full of surprises. So I invite you to come forward. Let's say children and families can come forward first, and then everyone who feels called to participate, come forward in some orderly fashion and unfurl what you choose and see what good you might do with our reverse offering. Please begin. And everyone in the family can take one. You don't, it's not just one per family, it's everyone. Is there one left? Are those all gone? No, there's more cash over here. So don't worry. We got more. If you want to participate and haven't yet, there's an opportunity to my right. All right. And so with that, the next part of the adventure begins. I will take one too as soon as I get over there. May we be blessed in all the ways that we receive, and may we feel blessed too as we give. May we hold the secret during coffee hour so that people in the second service don't know that this is what's going to happen. I don't know if 90 people have ever kept a secret before, but I know that you can do it. I know you can. I trust you.
May we hear and answer the call of the Spirit in all the good it may call us to do, and let us rise in body or spirit as we sing our closing hymn, number 1024 in your thinner hymnal, When the Spirit Says Do. Now, we're not going to follow the words exactly as they are in the book. This is the reverse offering. There's no offering today. That's the whole thing. Turning upside down. I know. It's crazy. I know. Really shaking it up today. So our closing hymn, 1024, When the Spirit Says Do. If you really want to donate to our, because we do have a Share the Plate, and we don't want to, if you really would like to donate to the Share the Plate, please feel free to write a check to the church. That's great. We don't want to, reduce the amount of funds that they get. So let us join in our closing hymn. When the Spirit says do, we're going to do the first time, it's going to be do. The second time, it's going to be sing. The third time, we're going to say love. And the last time, we're going to say do. We're going to sing it four times. Don't worry, I'll tell you what the words are. Let us sing. Closing words to hold hands. I'm going to go to the back of the sanctuary here. Our closing words are by Sarah York. We receive fragments of holiness, glimpses of eternity, brief moments of insight and joy. Let us gather them up for the precious gifts they are, and renewed by their grace, move boldly into the unknown. Go in peace. Go in love. Amen.